So this morning, we're on week 5. Maybe for the ones who don't have the material, you can look on with somebody close to you. And this is the second half of our study of the meal offering from Leviticus chapter 2. And I think it would be good for us to read the title, and then I'll share a little bit on just my impression from this week, and then we could go through the outline, and this will be the introduction for the material this week. So, by now, does everybody have access to the outline? Okay, so let's read this title all together. Ready? We have some extra copies if you need it. Oh, sorry, they just got handed out. Okay. All right. Ready? Go. Eating Christ as a meal offering to become the reproduction of Christ for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Hallelujah. Eating Christ. This is a profound aspect of truth that is found in the Bible. That we could eat Christ. I can't help but reflect on our gospel meeting this past Friday. One of the things that we touched about was this matter of eating Christ. In Genesis 2, we see when God placed man in front of the tree of life, He told man, you need to eat this tree. Amen. So this matter of eating Christ can be seen from the very beginning. You can say this is actually God's intention or His desire is that man would eat, would enjoy Christ as life, would take God as life into him. And why is this? Well, it's actually because we realize that God, He has an internal purpose. His desire is that He wants to be one with man. This is what is on His heart. And you could say this is the focus of what He is doing here on earth today. Everything related to God's plan, related to His eternal purpose, is concerning this one point. He wants to get into each and every one of us. And of course, He is now, all of us here, we are regenerated. He is in our spirit. But the Lord desires to spread, right? Spread from our spirit into every single part of our inner being, right? And He does this through eating. Right, so we need to see actually this matter of the meal offering. I think from last week we were very impressed. Right, the meal offering was food for not only God, but it was also food for the priests. In other words, it is food for man. Right, and so this week I would say there was a continuation, right, a progression from last week. And from the very beginning, and this was very much brought out from the outline in Roman numeral 4, just from the title, we realize that this matter of eating, it's not something individualistic, right? We're not just eating the Lord so that we could enjoy Him, we could be happy, we could be joyous, we could be full of peace. That's all true, right? But God's real intention, as seen from the title, and eventually it's developed in this outline, is that this eating of Christ as a meal offering is so that we would become the reproduction of Christ. Amen. For the fulfillment of God's purpose, right? So in other words, God wants to increase. He wants to be duplicated. Amen. And you see this from Genesis, right? When God created man, in Genesis 1:26, you know, we were created in a very special way with His image after His likeness, and that we would have dominion. We would exercise His representation. But right after that, do you know what's the following verse? You guys know your verses in Genesis? Genesis 26, we see God created man, right? In verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply,
Amen.
And fill the earth,
Amen.
And subdue it." And so we see right away, God, He just doesn't want His life to be expressed in an individual way, right? But actually, His creation of man was a corporate man. And then He wants, His actually desire is that this life would be multiplied, would fill the entire earth. So eventually that on this earth, it would be a corporate expression. And you can even say there would be a subduing factor, right, over every negative thing, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, right? And so this is God's desire. Right, and so hopefully when we come to this, we will have such a vision, that when we are coming to the Lord in the Word, when we're enjoying Him, when we're eating Him, this eating is so that there would be a corporate expression, right? And actually, I just want to jump to Roman numeral 4. How about we read this point together, Roman numeral 4. Ready? Go.
By partaking of Christ's atoning offering, we become the reproduction of Christ, the church, and the offering.
Amen. I was so impressed with this point this week. The Christ that we enjoy, it's not just an individual Christ. Actually, the Christ that we enjoy, we see from 1 Corinthians, right? 12:12, and also in 1 Corinthians in 10:17, that this Christ has now been enlarged to become this corporate Christ, right? And so that, this morning when we were participating, right, in this table, we saw the one loaf. The one loaf doesn't just represent Christ, right, and His human living. But actually, this one loaf signifies that the one grain, who was the one grain? Christ, He was the one grain. He fell into the earth to die. And in that death and in that resurrection, there was a great reproduction.
Amen.
Now, as in many grains, we have been blended.
Amen.
Blended together to be formed into this one loaf.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, do you realize when you were eating that bread this morning, it was not just Christ,
Amen.
But it's the corporate Christ.
Yes.
This is full of meaning, and I really hope this can be brought out this morning. The Christ that we enjoy, you can also say it's the church life.
Amen.
It's the corporate Christ.
Amen.
We eat not only Christ, but we also eat the corporate Christ.
Amen.
We eat the meal offering church life.
Amen.
If you check with your experience, isn't that true? Of course, we can enjoy the Lord in an individual way. But when we come together, there is a feasting.
Amen.
Right? There is a enjoyment in a very corporate way. The mutual enjoying of Christ with one another, right? And so how much the Lord, on His heart, He is trying to gain this, right? He is trying to have this in its reality, right? That the church life here in Piscataway would be such a corporate meal offering church life.
Amen.
And again, this kind of church life, of course, will satisfy God, but it will very much satisfy man. But let's consider the details a little bit. Let's go to point D. How about we read that all together, and then we can read the following points, and then I'll stop there. I'll read point D all together. Sisters, one. Brothers,
the meal offering is the type of a lending for the fulfillment of God's economy.
Sisters, A.
The
in order to commemorate and provide the meal of offering for Christ, we have to go through the cross and be by the Spirit, dispensing Christ to others for the sake of the body of Christ.
And how about all together on B?
Fellowship commands us that in these members and us and our minds and make us love others who lose our distinctions and save us from the immediate presence of our hearts and our health of our members of the Christ and Christ in all in all.
Amen. I feel these points are very key, right? It's not enough for us just to know doctrinally, right, about these things, but how can we get to the point where we could really say we are the reality, right, of the corporate meal offering? Well, I would say it's through these very practical points, right? We need to be blended. Brothers and sisters, we need to be blended. And I think this was brought out last week, but definitely strengthened in this week. You know, the only way for us to become such a corporate meal offering church life is through the process of blending.
Amen.
And I really appreciate, what does blending mean? It means that we need to go through the cross, right? And be by the Spirit, dispensing Christ into one another. In other words, you know, when we are together, you know, oftentimes, the more time you spend with one another, the more we rub shoulders, right? We use that term a little bit. And that means that sometimes when we come together, unconsciously, we bring our background, our upbringing, our culture, our old way of life, right? And sometimes, actually, that's a frustration, right, to the fellowship. That is very much unique in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so, what do we do? Do we just what's the best word to use? We just put up with one another. I'll just put up with David and his ways, and he'll put up with my ways. Actually, that's not the blending, right? But when we experience Christ with one another, and I would say a very practical way is just through prayer, right? For example, maybe we're both serving together in a area of service, right? He has his way of doing things, and I have my way of doing things. And maybe it's just because the way that we were brought up are different, right? And so should I just put up the way that he does things and he puts up with the way that I do things? That's not blending, right? But when we come together in a spirit of prayer and we pray together, we let the blending to occur. We let the oil of the Spirit to come in.
Amen.
That is what when the blending takes place, right? And so this point is so precious, brothers and sisters. When we are in this kind of experience, what are we experiencing? We're experiencing the real fellowship. And this fellowship blends us together, right? It tempers us, right? It adjusts us. It harmonizes us. And it mingles us.
Amen.
And I really like these points. And it saves us in leaving the impress of our personality in the church's life and work, right? We have so many different distinctions, right? And so when we come together, we really need to have this kind of fellowship. So that when we are serving, when we are living in the church life, there's no distinction. I'll just give you this illustration. This has helped me very much in the past. One time there was a love feast, right? This love feast called for some saints to bring together, I think it was some sort of salad, right? You know, everybody, let's just say it was coleslaw, okay? It might have been coleslaw. But everybody has a different way of making coleslaw. Maybe some of you have never made coleslaw before. It's usually just cabbage, carrots, mayonnaise, vinegar. But everybody has a different recipe, right? And then for this love feast, you know, all these saints brought together their own version of coleslaw. And then, you know, the responsible one did? Took all the different dishes of coleslaw. and threw them all together into this one pot and then just stirred it up together. You know, this is actually a very good illustration of what fellowship and blending is. No more distinction. You have your way of doing things. I have my way of doing things. But in the church life, there's no room for that. We're all being thrown together into this giant one pot. And then the stirring occurs, right? Oh, that's the Spirit being added, right? So we lose all our flavors, right? All our distinctions. So that what is the result is just this wonderful one loaf, right?
Amen.
This oneness, this corporate church life, right?
Amen.
And that becomes the satisfaction to both God and man. So I think I'll stop here. There's some other crucial points from this week, especially the following points concerning the need to have the proper humanity to fight the spiritual warfare. I just want to point out, right, in Matthew 4, it's very clear the Lord Jesus took the standing as a man. This is so significant. The tempter came to tempt the Lord Jesus, if you are the Son of God. But the Lord responded in such a marvelous way. Man shall not live on bread alone. So he defeated the enemy as a man, the Son of Man. And so I hope the saints could also bring this out. So I'll just stop here. Maybe we could open this time up for the saints to share. Again, because of the large size, it's so good to see everybody here. Maybe we could begin with 2 minutes each, and then with the help of the piano. But please bring forth all the riches that you'd enjoy this week.
Amen.
Last week, Virginia and I went to Kingston, and we heard the brother speaking on the goal of the Lord's recovery, to bring forth the one new man. So that goes very much, it's the same speaking as this week. So, for example, this week emphasizes very much, the Lord wants to have the corporate meal offering.
Amen.
This is his goal. He wants the corporate meal offering. But one point we have to understand is that we're not trying to create this corporate meal offering. This corporate meal offering already exists. So the new man, this is the new man. The new man already exists.
Amen.
The new man was created on the cross.
Amen.
But it was created as an infant. So Ephesians 4 shows that this new man needs to grow. So the new man is the corporate meal offering.
Amen.
So the corporate meal offering needs to grow.
Amen.
How does it grow? In Ephesians 4 it says that we hold to truth and love and we grow into the head.
Amen.
We grow. So here this morning we're saying we need to eat Christ as the meal offering.
Amen.
So one verse, so in Ephesians 4 it says, talks about, in Colossians also it talks about put the old man and the new man. So one way, so it says put off the old man and put on the new man. So we're literally putting on, we're growing in the new man, the corporate meal offering. The new man is growing. It's growing by our growing.
Amen.
So it's already been created. We're not creating it. So like Shepherd pointed out, in resurrection, there was a giant birth. There was a giant birth. This is the new man. This is the corporate meal offering. Now our job is just to grow up into the head, to eat the Lord as in his humanity. So one verse, Leviticus 2:3 says, concerning the meal offering, it is a thing most holy.
Amen.
It is a thing most holy.
Amen.
That means that, am I trying to apply the Lord to my common humanity? Or am I taking the Lord in his humanity?
Amen.
A most holy humanity.
Yeah.
And living him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I enjoy this portion in day 4 also, concerning the meal offering. you need to be blended together into one body by living the meal offering church life. We eat the meal offering as flour and as a cake. And today's reading says, our hunger is satisfied not only by Christ, but also by the church life.
Amen.
The church life satisfies us because the church life is a corporate meal offering.
Amen.
With the top portion for God and the remainder for us. Therefore, we are fed and with the church life. We are fed with the church life. The church life is the meal offering to be our daily supply. Hallelujah for the meal offering.
Amen.
Church life.
Amen.
The meal offering church life can be burned to produce a satisfying fragrance for God. And the remainder of this offering will be our food. This means that we will eat our church life, for the church life will be our daily supply.
Amen.
Thus the meal offering, which is our daily supply, is not merely Christ, but Christ with the church life. Now we are feeding on Christ, and we are also feeding on the church life.
Amen.
We eat the meal offering not only in the first form as flour, the individual Christ, we also eat the meal offering in the second form as a cake, the corporate Christ, the church. And in the coming days, in all the churches, we will see a meal offering church life, a life that first satisfies God and then feeds us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, yeah, I also want to emphasize, you know, we are feasting like this meal offering in a corporate way. Like, you know, the Friday, you know, I enjoy the gospel meeting.
Amen.
Yeah. So, although you know, still in the daytime we were dealing, you know, the tree, you know, company cutting the trees and those hassles. So I was tired, but I still try to pray to the Lord, say what I can offer, you know, to help this gospel meeting. So it was great to see, you know, those new ones, and also to see the young saints.
Amen.
You know, they are preaching. Amen. Gospel.
Amen.
You know, they are preaching gospel, like starting with Robert and then go on. So was very encouraging. Yeah, it was very encouraging, and also to see the new ones, you know, receiving our fly to attend the gospel meeting. So yeah, so I think I really appreciate the church life, you know, in a very it's just a past storm. I like to say that, but I don't, you know, in the past storm, one of the things I felt was very horrible is, you know, the snow not only cutting the trees. But the snow plower, you know, get a big circle, you know, our house is set in the corner of the street. So the snow plower passing by leave a very big, you know, angle in front of our driveway, so we cannot get out. So basically we were cut off. So that feeling was very bad. So on the other hand today when we drive out of the house, you know, my wife said we should praise God every day if we can drive out of house to attend this church meeting.
Amen.
It's not a trivial thing. I still remember just several weeks ago, you know, we were cut off. So in short, we should appreciate, and we should also to enjoy. And remember, we are one member of the corporate.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. I echo Brother Richards to share. I was totally surprised. I say, because I asked all the saints, I said, who is the speaker during the college preach gospel in the Rockets? He told me, Robert. Do you remember Robert? Your training, you teach how to drive. A lot of time. That's our God man living. Corporate God man living.
Amen.
Amen. Now he becomes the one of the speaker.
Amen.
Oh, share his God man living in the campus.
Amen.
Oh, wow. What a joy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, I enjoyed this week the meal offering, and in relation to the burnt offering. You know, we're sinful simply because we're not absolute for the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we need the burnt offering. Mm-hmm. But in order to experience the burnt offering, we have to eat the meal offering.
Amen.
Because the meal offering is anointed with oil, right?
Yes.
And the Spirit, and it's mingled with this oil. And the frankincense, which is the resurrection light, is poured on it. It's sprinkled on it. And actually, it's sprinkled. And so this meal offering is eating Christ. It's eating and enjoying the Lord. And I read this week, when I read, you know, John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. And I said, am I eating the Lord? I'm not eating the Lord. I'm not enjoying you. Because this eating here is for the reproduction of Christ. This is not merely an eating because I want to enjoy the Lord. But yes, it is enjoyable. But the Lord wants a reproduction of himself. And everything is for the church life. Recently I have had an experience, very, very different experience, because the Lord showed me that I needed to give something up, because I was spending too much time with this thing, and this thing was taking me away from enjoying him, was taking me away from the church life. I was not giving my Lord the preeminence in all things. So when I went to enjoy Colossians, the subject of Colossians says Christ, the all-inclusive one, to have the first place in all things.
Amen.
Right? He is the embodiment and the head of the church, the constituent of the church, and the body of all positive things. And I realized that I was not enjoying my Lord, and that last week, Tom and I went to this conference, and I almost couldn't go because of this thing that was keeping me from going, that I was becoming a slave. And I needed that. And so this morning, I really enjoy this hymn 645 that says, look away unto me. What is it?
Turn your eyes
unto Jesus. Look into, full into his wonderful face.
Amen.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Amen.
In the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
And to realize that nothing should take away our enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
That all of this supply is in the meal offering.
Amen.
And the meal offering is the priestly food. That we need to eat the priestly food so that we can be enabled to live the church life.
Amen.
And to live this life that is for the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to echo sisters' fellowship. We can't realize how not ready we are until last storm. I want to mention it again. We prepare a generator, so we think we are ready. So when the storm came, we suddenly realized there's no oil. Yeah, just like Matthew 25. So just recently I read the chapter again, Matthew 25. It's become so vivid and so living. Because you think you're ready, but actually you're really not. We're far from ready. So we have the generator, but we don't have oil. Only a little bit old oil, and it's no use at all. So we can't be so satisfied with our, you know, spiritual life. We're far from ready. Because when the Lord really comes, it's no time for you to regret.
Amen.
Yeah, now it's... So we really appreciate Lord's mercy. We still have time and chance to be ready to fill our vessel with oil.
Yeah.
And also, until that storm, we realize how much we need each other. Not only ourselves. Our family has 6 members. Seems like we're okay. But actually, we're really not okay. When the storm comes, we were so useless. So the neighbors and also the saints came to help and save us from the storm. We really appreciate it, because that storm helped us a lot to help us realize we are really live in a corporate way, not an individual way. Now we are in a corporate church life, not individual Christian life. And our individual human virtue is useless at all, because it can only make us arrogant. Only the human virtue blend with the spirit you can be humble. You can think, okay, you need each other. We are one of the members.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we are one of it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This message is so marvelous, right? It's weak. And I enjoy this message, especially the seven elements, the six elements, four positive and two negatives, right?
Right.
And really, my burden is a lot in on the... I love these four elements, the fine flower, Christ himself, the oil, the divine, and the fragrance, and the salt. But when I'm looking at the 11, the 11 is sin, type of sin. And I said, the Lord already put to death the old man. But then when I come to the honey, the natural affection, right, is I find that when we marry, the married couples, I think we all marry with natural affection, right? First we like the person, and then the love grows. Right? I was telling sharing with a brother that a kid this week asked me, what is the difference between like and love? And when is the crossing like, how do you know you love somebody? Or how do you know you like somebody? Well, usually you can like anybody. You can like a movie, you can like an actor, you can like a friend, right? But when you love somebody, it's actually when you feel something, you care about that person, you want to be with that person, right? But he's not a believer. And then I said, well, unless you have the Holy Spirit, that's different, right? And so I preach the gospel to him. And one thing that when we marry, I love my wife. This is from experience. Brother Nee talked about this in the life studies, that he met a couple that married. When they came to the church, like they wanted to get a divorce. But when they received the Lord, they didn't want to get a divorce. They actually lived the resurrection life after that, right? And in my experience, I would have been already divorced if it wasn't because I seen this life. You know, but I will have to admit, when I came here to the mini hall, I like Brother Joy, but I would say I didn't love him really. I used to like him, but then I start actually having a natural affection for him, right? But now when we came to the Book of Leviticus, it changed the whole story. Mm-hmm. See, in the Book of Leviticus, the Lord showed something else, that this natural affection is the filial love, which is not bad. The natural affection is not bad. That's how we started marriage life. That's how we love our kids, our family. But now that we see this revelation, we can see that this natural affection is honey. It's not for the meal offering. That he doesn't want us to offer that. We must offer what the divine love, the agape love, the one from 3:16, John 3:16. That's the one. See, many times we just be with somebody because we have this filial love only, which is good. Filial love is good. But this filial love had to turn mixing with the divine love into this meal offering. To love, now I know I love the church with this love, which is the divine love, mingled with the humanity of Jesus' love. See, Jesus loves everybody. He loves everybody. It doesn't matter who you were, who you are. And this is the love that we must to give, not because I like this culture, because he's my best friend. No, friendship, it doesn't work here. Friendship, love, natural affection, it rots, really. My natural affection for my wife is gone a long time ago. Now I love my wife with this love in Leviticus, which is the divine love, with the humanity love of Jesus. This is the highest love, the highest humanity, and this is the highest humanity we actually should walk.
Amen.
Should walk like
this. Amen.
You know, in my business, there's a lot of corruption. In my business, a lot of things going on. Only the Lord. I was supposed to open. I'm sorry. My car broke down. And it's just that now I can see in the Book of Leviticus that this honey had to be taken, must be removed, to be replaced by the love of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's a high standard love, the agape love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
because we can eat Jesus.
Amen.
In my old concept, or I'm used to thinking, eating Jesus is something individualistic. And I will even say, you know, in my, as I was enjoying this week, I feel like, yeah, I have some experiences that as I was eating, the Lord mingled more of Himself with me. Maybe there was some shining, and there was some exposing, and there was some mingling. And in a sense, this week I was exposed by the Lord that I was satisfied with just that, an individual enjoyment of Christ as the meal offering. But I was really going through the week, you know, I realized, you know, this Christ that we're enjoying, His heart and who He is for a corporate expression.
Amen.
He is the corporate Christ. And when actually, you know, I appreciate how the brother brought up and opened up this week. Even God, His intention is not just so that He will gain us as an individual. Even we will grow in the Lord as an individual, but He will gain a corporate expression.
Right? That's right.
So I received the shine. I was just really touched that we need to move on from our individual focused enjoyment of Christ to the corporate, to touch and enjoy this corporate Christ.
Amen.
In an aspect of His heart, to gain a corporate expression.
Amen.
So if we're really enjoying the Lord as a meal offering, we should at some point be ushered into the enjoyment of the corporate meal offering,
mm-hmm.
which is the church life.
Amen.
So so that we may really, you know, to touch what's on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
And yeah, praise the Lord. I just enjoy that we need to enjoy the corporate meal offering.
Amen.
The corporate Christ.
Amen.
In our daily enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
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 The meal offering, we see that there's two kinds of blending. There's blending with Christ's divinity and His humanity.
Amen.
And there's also the blending between the many members to become the one cake, the one corporate meal offering.
Amen.
But there's also two things needed for the meal offering. The meal offering is needed to satisfy God. Actually, there's three. Needed to satisfy God, needed to satisfy us as corporately, but also is needed in the matter of the spiritual warfare. We need to realize that actually, like Brother Sergio said, is that our humanity is not our own, but actually the humanity is God's humanity. But that humanity is the mingling and the strengthening of humanity through divinity. So we need actually Christ as this kind, as His mingled humanity and divinity to be ours. When we realize that our humanity is very lacking, we need the Lord.
Amen.
But actually, I was really touched and struck by this matter of blending. Blending is not a matter of being quiet or talkative in day five, but a matter of being tempered. And I was considering, what does it mean to be tempered? Tempering is actually, if you know anything about steelwork and metalwork, tempering is a matter of taking metal that has already been processed, has already been folded together, many sheets folded together, heated, using oil and water to make it into one solid, you can't tell the difference within the metal, but that metal is still bendable. That metal is still fragile. That metal needs to undergo a certain kind of constant heat to become tempered, to become solidified and solid. So with our blending, there needs to be this kind of constant tempering, constant heat. And heat is not something enjoyable. But with Christ, we have to realize, when Shepherd was saying rubbing shoulder to shoulder, and, you know, we might not like the differences between the saints, and that's fine. We have to learn to accept the saints as who they are.
Right.
But we have to realize is that this cannot remain.
Right.
And this doesn't mean that we have to act a certain way now. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, it's because, like, Brother Joe and me, because we're the same name and everything, doesn't mean that I have to act like Brother Joe and Brother Joe has to act like me.
Right.
Actually, this is not acting. It's rather, this Christ has now become manifested, and now there's no distinction between the two of us.
Amen.
So this is needed for the spiritual warfare.
Amen.
We need to realize that this is not just for enjoyment. Yes, praise the Lord is for enjoyment. But we have to realize that in this age, in the gospel meeting we were talking about, this age right now is so corrupt. We need to be the ones who could be this meal offering.
Amen. Amen. Our eating of the meal offering is not a small thing. It's not merely for our enjoyment and satisfaction. It is for God's purpose, and it's for the spiritual warfare. So I really enjoy that. Naturally, we may think that in order for us to fight, we need to be more spiritual, right?
Right.
We need much divine power. But actually, in this matter, we see, the brothers are, in order for us to fight, in order, oh Lord Jesus, the warfare between Satan and us actually is much reliant on the humanity,
right.
The proper humanity. Without the proper humanity, not to mention to fight, actually we are already defeated.
Right.
So we really need to all have a proper view of the meal offering. Oh Lord Jesus. And I really enjoy that the brother mentioned in this message, he said, how can we eat? How can we eat the humanity of Jesus? So we talk about the humanity of Jesus. First of all, our brother said, we need first to see such a model. Jesus already lived such a life. We need to partake to see such a model. Then open our being to him. And then we say amen to him in our situations. To apply him in our environment.
Amen.
I feel like, I think all of us, like we already see something. And sometimes we are willing to be open to him. But when some situation comes, we are not willing to say amen. Oh Lord, especially in the marriage life. So Keisha is in California. But sometimes when we have video chat, we still have arguing. I don't understand. Just have arguing. But oh Lord, last night I was so angry actually. Oh Lord, but this. Oh Lord Jesus, but the Lord just reminded me to. Oh Lord, I should open to you and to say amen. Say amen to apply the humanity of Jesus to me.
Amen.
So Lord Jesus, oh Lord. Lord Jesus, so we really need to eat, partake of the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
And apply the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
In every situation.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Following what Brother was sharing about this battle, you know, in the universe there is a battle, right?
Yes.
You cannot see, but it actually happens daily in our living. This is the battle, actually, the center is the humanity.
Amen.
On one hand,
Amen.
Right, as we were reading this, God wants to gain the humanity, right?
Amen.
But on the other hand, Satan wants to gain the humanity as well, right?
Amen.
Satan is the one that wants to corrupt humanity.
Right.
He's the one that first stepped in, even when God has created the man, right? God created a man according to his own image and his likeness. But Satan coming quickly to corrupt the humanity.
Yes.
And that's why the human being fell. So actually this is happening everywhere.
Right.
You see in today's society, right? There is this battle.
Right.
You know, on one hand the humanity is really being corrupted. Actually looking at the society now compared to 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you see there is a lot of things, a lot of those lawlessness, right?
Right.
You haven't really thought about, I mean, even, you know, could imagine that, you know, back 10 years ago. Now it becomes a norm, right?
Amen.
So we see this battle is getting fierce and fierce, right? More and more, apparent, actually, you know. But praise the Lord, right? This all the situation is actually under the sovereignty. We know, even in the Bible, right? Paul, the apostles, tells us that at the end of age, right, people are going to be the ones that love themselves, right? They're not loving God anymore, right? So there is a tendency, you know. So, but as God's people, as God's chosen people, right, we, God has a desire. He wants to regain this humanity, right? So, in fact, today, this corporate meal offering is really nothing but then the group of overcomers.
Amen.
The one that will be against the tide, right? The decaying tide of the entire society that is going downhill, we would say, right? Eventually, all of this is going to go to the lake of fire. But before this all comes to an end, he needs to gain this corporate meal offering with Christ as the center, as the constituent, right? So, you know, Praise the Lord, right? Now we all have this Christ as a prototype within us.
Amen.
So all we need to do daily is to really Amen. Take it, right? To eat Him, to enjoy Him, to let Him to live out of ourselves, right? We need our natural man need to be reduced. So this Christ, this new man, this best, I would say, this finest humanity can really be lived out of us, right?
Amen.
And we have the divine power within us. And also we can pray daily that, you know, this oil be poured upon us. So we will also be covered by this divine power. And may the Lord's will be done.
Amen.
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 Our eating is for the reproduction of Christ.
Amen.
And if we consider who Christ was, He was the only one who was qualified to fulfill God's eternal purpose. He was a man who was the complete God, and He was a perfect man.
Amen.
We know in Genesis 1:26, God's eternal purpose is that a man, that would express God and represent Him with His dominion. And so, like what Brother Mingjing just shared regarding the age, it is true. In the last 20 years, we really see a progression of something. But I'm a person who's in my 20s, so I only know, you know, in the last 20 years, I haven't been further back. But I really believe it's really now, these days, is the manifestations of all the negative things of the fallen mankind. And really, but we're not here merely to just, you know, to deal with the negative things. Actually, even the positive human virtues of which we were created with, we recognize from this week, we see that even these positive virtues must be mingled, must be strengthened and enriched with the divine attributes. Our human virtues, I think we shared this last week, even if I love one another, I really appreciated this. Our love may be natural. Our love may be anything out of ourselves, unfortunately, because of the fall, is impure.
Right.
We love for some benefit of ourselves, that
right.
maybe that we would be loved back. You know, that we would have some favors.
Amen.
But actually, when we love in the divine love,
Amen.
Right, this is what is the mingling. This is when we're taking Christ as the meal offering.
Amen.
When our human virtues are uplifted by the divine attribute.
Amen.
Well, ultimately, it is a man that will fulfill God's eternal purpose,
Amen.
To express Him and to represent Him. And it's here we see, I really appreciate what Brother Tom shared, in resurrection, what happened? Surely He became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Surely there was a huge birth, a delivery of the many children of God. But also something happened in resurrection, and there was a creation of the one new man. And the one new man is not just Christ as an individual Christ, but it is a corporate Christ,
right.
large to represent Him.
Right.
So the church like we live today, and I really appreciate it, even on this past Friday, the gospel meeting, it was a little glimpse into the church life as many members participating together to be built up as this one new man.
Amen.
You know, not one person, not one brother, not, you know, just members of the body functioning to speak forth Christ and for Christ.
Amen.
And being joined together to represent Him, to be the gospel one. Well, anyways, ultimately, it will be also this one new man that will defeat the enemy.
Amen.
It is the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
It is a man that will defeat the enemy as Christ did.
Right.
It is a man that resurrects, has resurrected. It was a man who has ascended.
Right.
And is right now a man that is on the throne. And together, as we have the proper humanity, we will join with Him to reign with Him.
Amen.
To defeat the enemy and also reign with Him for 1,000 years and for eternity.
Amen.
Yeah, I really appreciate
the
brothers sharing. And I actually have a battle on a daily basis. I was very touched by his one point that I don't know if you noticed in the message. It says about meal offering church life. You know, I have to admit that in the past 20 years or so, I always think about happy church life. I think this meal offering church life, it's just not in my concept. You know, so this week's message is especially about the corporate meal offering. I was very touched by that aspect. I think Brother Benjamin talked about the humanity, how we practice or how we understand this humanity. Actually, I think on the individual aspect, you know, we actually have this pattern, the Lord. You know, he really wants us to, he has a purpose, and his purpose is different from our, you know, own interests or our own preference or taste. So he is a pattern that we just need to get into what he's feeling and what he's thinking and what he's doing. Basically, his person, not our person. And I think that Shepherd really gave this a very good illustration about how we went together. You know, I actually, an exact, almost the same example, you know, the other day we were having a meal service. By the way, if you want to be blended together, please join the meal service. And that is the best way you will be blended. I still remember last time we had this, you know, service. And exactly Costco, okay, a young college sister told me, "Sister, you need to wash this." And I was like, "No, we don't need to wash this. Why do we need to wash this? You know." So then she said, "I really think we need to wash this." And I said, "I insist. Don't wash this." And then the next morning, you know, in the car, I asked Kyle, I said, "Do you think we need to wash coleslaw? You know, when it is said ready to eat?" And of course, Kyle gave an answer. But then the Lord just reminded me, you know, this is a young sister. Why do you insist that you say, "I insist we have to do this"? So then later on, I told the sister, I said, "I'm really sorry." You know, it actually doesn't matter if you wash it or if you don't wash it. It is actually it is on day six. The verse, it says that, "Do you have the sense of righteousness or peace or joy?" If we are in the church life, if it's because of our preference and we lose the righteousness, we lose the peace and we lose the joy, we are not fighting this battle together. Actually, we are together. So I really hope that, you know, this message is a reminder to us that we really need to live in the practice reality.
Amen.
Of the meal
offering. Amen.
I was impressed by the matter of spiritual warfare, not being a matter so much of the divine power, but of the proper humanity. And actually, in my own experience, oftentimes what defeats the enemy in my being is my witnessing of the proper humanity in the other saints. It's not so much what they say, not that I don't enjoy what you're saying in the meetings, but it's not just the spiritual riches and truth that you're able to expound, but actually it is the manifestation of this meal offering living, right? Of the proper humanity being lived out. And so that to me is one of the biggest encouragements in my own church life. So I just was very touched again that actually if we want to defeat the enemy, we need the proper humanity. It doesn't matter how much of the truth we know, but are we really? It matters, but what really matters is, are we living out this life? And so, something else that impressed me this week was the matter of, I guess, the way this is lived out. I feel like we have all these concepts and ideas about, okay, well, if the proper humanity and the meal offering is going to be lived out in the church, that's going to look like this. We have this idea in our head, like we're going to be a certain way, our disposition will be a certain way, the way that we interact will be a certain way. But I was really reminded by a sister this week. So we correspond for whatever reason through like written, like through postcards and letters, even though it's like why we have phones now. But anyway, so she got my most recent letter in which I kind of was opening to her a little bit about some recent struggles I've had in the church life the past few years. And her text, she texted me back because I guess she like couldn't wait to respond by writing another postcard. And I was just really touched. She said, to paraphrase, if you're living by external expectations and you're not actually listening to or spending time with the Lord, then that's not the right living, right? That's not it. If we're not really before Him and listening to Him and we're just assuming that we know what He wants, that's not the real Christian living. It's just your idea of what it means to be a perfect Christian. And I was really encouraged by that because I feel like, you know, I feel like I already know. I already know what it's supposed to look like. I already know what it's supposed to feel like, even though it's supposed to, you know, rely on our feeling or the outward situation. But anyway, I was encouraged again that the more we enjoy and eat this meal offering in a corporate way, this will happen. This will be the outcome. It doesn't have to be us matching up to our idea, but it should be. So, amen.
Amen.
So I had an experience similar to Sister Ping's at the gospel meeting, and I know most people find this silly, but there was a spider on the window, and I thought it was adorable. So I brought it to the attention of one of the other brothers, and he happened to be afraid of the spider. He's like, I think we need to take care of this issue, and then they killed the spider. And after that, I was maybe curious, a little bit sad, but then I brought this up as some kind of controversial issue, where I would ask everyone, like, oh, what's your opinion on killing spiders? And, you know, most people say, I would kill the spider. And for some reason, this did not bring me peace. So I would accuse them of, like, oh, so I said, you just like killing innocent life now, don't you? And in my mind, this only happened, like, yesterday. And I'm like, you know, this is probably not what God wanted. You know, I'm not sure there's some conflict in the church life because of the life of a spider. So... No, it's a more of a, I feel like this is some harsh blending thing. Just a, you know, I'm not really sure this seems relevant.
Amen. I really like this verse, which I never noticed before, but it's Philippians 2:14, and it says, "Do all things without murmurings and reasonings."
Amen.
And I never paid attention to this verse because it just seems so obvious until I prayed over this verse, I pre-read it, and it was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh Lord, do all things without murmurings and reasonings. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I came to the Word to be nourished and strengthened, and instead it's like a piercing sword. Like, do all things without murmurings and reasonings. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of the meal offering, which is without leaven, mm-hmm. without leaven, without honey, without murmurings and without reasonings. And so the meal offering signifies the fine, perfect humanity of Jesus, which has a fragrance of resurrection, which is under the cross. And so the church life, as this corporate meal offering, cannot be any less. It is the same in nature. It's divinity mingled with humanity.
Amen.
Very practically, it's without murmurings and reasonings. And I was like, Lord, this word is definitely for me. Because when I read that, I wanted to cry. I was like, impossible. Like, especially reasonings. I always reason. But I enjoy that the Lord Jesus is this meal offering that we can eat so that we can become
Amen.
His enlargement
Amen.
As the cake meal offering.
Amen.
What really touched me was Genesis 1, because when I read that part, I thought, oh, God created us in our image, in His image. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, then we should be great, you know, because God is love, light, holiness, righteousness, and righteousness. And but to me, an image would be, you know, 100% replica of it. That's what I thought. But yeah, and I think this especially because when I think of, like, you know, a baby, right? Perfect, innocent, good, you know. And but I sometimes I realize, like, you know, maybe not so much, because it's like as we age, we acquire these other things. Like, we, you know, sometimes we don't have love because we feel like we need to exercise power over something. And sometimes we don't have the light because as we age, we need to also gain that wisdom. You know, we need to figure out what's right and wrong, especially growing up as a kid. You know, a kid doesn't have the righteousness, even though we think they're so innocent, exactly what we think is good in the world. And I also liked, besides going on from that, I also liked how it talked about Paul and it showed how Paul lived some of Jesus' living. And it talked about how he, his love was not about living out his life. He was loving by helping others live out their life. By helping them have the dispensing of divine life. And I also liked about when it went to Luke, when it talked about, like, John the Baptist. How he talked about, okay, what John the Baptist did and how he was able to dispense life. And I always thought, like, wow, John the Baptist, he's this holy man, and he just somehow knew who Jesus was. He somehow knew all this. But even so, he had a limitation. His limitation was that he was still merely human. And he was only being dispensed this light through the Father, through God. God had to continuously give him the life in order for him to see that. And however, when Jesus came, he not only had, you know, the human nature, the human virtue properties that were good. He also had the divine life, and he also had the nature of God. So it encompassed and overcame every weakness that was before. So I really appreciate just this overall timeline of seeing how God stretched out his hand each time.
Amen.
To bring us closer to him, to the point that we have him indwelling in us.
Amen.
I will follow you. You want fellowship, right, Kenny? I saw you stand up halfway. So I follow you. Yeah, so you go
maybe
first.
That was Sean, but okay.
Oh, okay.
Amen. So actually I had an experience that was over the spring break trip regarding the proper humanity. So, for those of you who don't know, I like making clothes. And I was making a coat until like 3 a.m. A couple days. And eventually, I was just working on it and sewing back and forth. So, you know, sometimes when you're doing a really monotonous task that's repetitive like that, you either go blank or... Like, sometimes I just take that opportunity to have some vertical fellowship. And then the Lord's like, why are you doing this now? You're supposed to be on a blending trip, blending with not only the people in this locality, but your other brothers. This is not the proper humanity. So, then I had, like, a flashback to the previous semester Bible study on campus, actually, where we actually covered this subject of the meal offering in Leviticus, and I was just like, oh Lord, okay, I turn back to you now.
Amen.
Amen.
When we talk about spiritual warfare, and especially on me, is at least in the past, it's hard to connect to the humanity of Jesus. Right? So whenever we talk about spiritual warfare, we say, oh, that's Ephesians 6:11. But if you look at the outline, when they quote the verses, they start from Ephesians 5:17. So they spend many, many verses talking about how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a father, how to be a children. That means, and then lead to the whole armor of God. So I think it really reminds us, right, it's not, when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's not like, oh, we have to do some spiritual thing or spiritual terms. Oh, I have righteousness, I have truth. No, it's that how can you express the humanity of Jesus?
Amen.
The humanity, the proper humanity, is all very much related to the spiritual warfare.
Right.
Think about it. If I do something and just quote spiritual way, oh, I go to the church, I do this, I do that. Even sometimes I can say something about Bible, but your living, your expression is totally not proper. Then how can you defeat the enemy? I think, you know, sometimes we may feel that, oh, that's, I defeat the enemy because I can do 1, 2, 3. No. I think if we not express the proper humanity, our enemy probably laugh at that. Oh, you thought that is you can defeat me with this? No, proper humanity. But do we have proper humanity? No, we don't. So that's really why we need eat Jesus.
Amen.
We need to take Jesus in.
Amen.
So that his humanity becomes our humanity.
Right.
So that we can express him. So And then also in this week, talking about the highest standard of morality. Yeah. It's hard. I don't know, you know, what's your definition of that. But one point is very impressed me. I will just read to you. A living where the human life is filled with the divine life.
Amen.
So it's not just human. Divine life.
Yeah.
And where the human virtues are strengthened Amen. And enriched Amen. By the divine attribute.
Amen.
This is what we call the highest standard of morality.
Amen.
So it's not something just we are doing, or we are showing the good behavior. It's really the divine life,
Amen.
The divine attribute.
Amen.
But it's a humanity, it's a, so that we can express in our human virtue.
Amen.
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 Amen. Lord, Amen. I really enjoy all brothers and sisters you're sharing. And actually, instead of giving a conclusion, I actually have a particular burden to share today. You know, this week I really also enjoy this. You know, we are not only eating the individual Christ.
Amen.
We are eating the corporate Christ.
Amen.
And this corporate Christ is typified by the cake.
Amen.
Right? And if I ask you, you are going to make a cake, what ingredient you would think about?
Flour.
Sugar. In the physical salt. Realm, I think if I ask, I don't need to ask Sister Ping. I ask most of you, I think you will say sugar, right? And you probably will say yeast, right?
Yeah.
Or baking powder,
right?
But very interestingly, in the Bible, the Lord show us you cannot put sugar, even you cannot put honey, right? You cannot put leaven. And we are thinking back to the, you know, in order for us to eat the cake, we need to bake the cake, right? So the baker is a process. And this process, I think, very particular to impress me a lot, is we cannot have leaven and we cannot have honey. Why is leaven here? Leaven actually, you know, and oh, I should say this. When we talk about spiritual warfare, right, and pretty much, I think that's very important. We need to prevent all this leaven and honey in this cake, in this church life. And but how this leaven and honey coming into this cake, you know, is, I think, in the church life, not that much, you know, come out somewhere, you know, nowhere. You don't know. Someone just bring it in. It sneak in to us through our improper humanity.
Right.
So we bring in some yeast, some leaven, and honey.
Amen.
And I think that from time to time in the church life, we can discover this, right? Have you ever seen some saints? They're trying to do like the red market in the church life, right? Trying to, you know, ask you to bring some business or commercial mind, commercial things into the church life. And these are all we need to be very careful. You know, in the church life, you shouldn't bring anything with the business, your personal interest into the church life.
Right.
You might say, oh, I'll give the church some money so I can do something in the church. There's no way this can happen.
Right. Yes.
Right. There's leaven. And also honey, you know, our you know, natural affection, right? I might do something in favor of my own son, my own wife, my daughter, right? That's natural affection. Or even some little lamb, my sheep, I favor him because I have some service in the church life, and I take care these ones are taken care of more. That's also honey.
Right.
So I think this is probably not the primary point in the whole week, but I really have a burden to bring this up, you know, to do the spiritual welfare. It's very much very important. We, our humanity, need to be dealt with. Otherwise, the meal offering, once it has this leaven, has honey, you would corrupt it.
Oh,
and we have this responsibility to take care of these things when we are having church life here.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 No honey.
Amen.
In your humanity.
Amen.
There's spirit.
Amen.
There's salt.
Amen.
There's frankincense.
Amen.
Fine flour.
Amen.
Thank you for your humanity.
Amen.
Bless you, we may eat you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, we can eat Jesus.
Amen.
Not just remain doctrine to us.
Amen.
As we eat,
amen.
It will be digested.
Amen.
Assimilated into us.
Amen.
It will usher us in.
Amen.
Genuine eating of you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Have mercy on us.
Amen.
Have mercy on us.
Amen.
Suggest us to eat you.
Amen.
As Jesus the human.
Amen.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, let us continue.
Amen.
Endurance to eat you.
Amen.
Oh, drinking you.
Amen.
Say, eat you worth your life.
Amen.
Oh, we live our life because you.
Amen.
Oh, not only the simple eating.
Amen.
You all, oh, we become your reproduction.
Amen.
Live out your life.
Amen.
Yes. Right. So gain us this week, Lord.
Amen.
I will be living to you.
Amen.
We are all living a corporate meal offering.
Amen.
I will enjoy you as the meal offering.
Amen.
All daily, Lord.
Amen.
Personally and corporately.
Amen. Oh,
so that we can be becoming a reproduction, Lord.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus, we give you the next week to you.
Amen.
We give you our mind to you.
Amen.
Lord, give us your spirit.
Amen.
Let us live without sin.
Amen.
Let our hearts be with your heart.
Amen.
Right. We want to set our mind on the Spirit.
Amen.
We give our daily living to you.
Amen.
We can all eat you every day.
Amen.
We can eat you as our meal offering.
Amen.
So that this proper humanity can be expressed in us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Are
we
bad
here in fellowship?
Yeah.
Okay.
We will have a lot of fellowship, so
we'll
go to
all be very quick. So one thing right away is if you were there on Friday,
you didn't sign in.